Matthew chapter 10, verses 24 through 33. This is Jesus Christ speaking. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the disciple to be like his teacher, and the servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the dark, say in the light. What you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven. This is the word of the Lord. Will you pray with me? Father, we come to you this morning, needing to hear from you. Please quiet our fears, answer our doubts, and change our hearts through the person and work of Jesus, your Son, in whose name we pray. Amen. Well, good morning and welcome to Ironworks Church. As Pastor John said, my name is Josh Olson, and I'm one of the founding members, I take pride in that, of Ironworks Church. I have been given this great opportunity to share with you some of the things that God has been teaching me. I'm very excited to be able to do that this morning. So let's just jump right in. We're going to be talking about fear. And perhaps when I read this passage, the circumstances seemed a little bit foreign to you just because of what he was describing. But this I know, all of us can relate to and we know the feeling of fear. We've all experienced it. After all, it's what keeps us up at night. It's what causes us to lock our doors. It's what causes us to want to keep our children very close to us. Fear has this controlling element to it, causing us to sometimes say things that we thought were never possible, and sometimes doing things that we never thought that we should or could do. But one thing ties us all together. We have all experienced fear. No matter the circumstances, we've had this feeling deep in the pit of our stomach, making our muscles tense, our palms sweaty, our pupils dilate, and our heart pound with fear. When was the last time that you felt that way? I doubt with a crowd this size that perhaps some of you felt that even this morning. Well, we're going to be talking about fear, and in doing so, we're going to be touching on three questions. I'm going to try not to be like Darren. Three questions. Number one, why do we fear? And then secondly, what do we fear? And then third, how does God answer our fears? So first, why do we fear? Why is it necessary? Why do we worry? Why do we get so upset and fearful? Well, I believe our scripture passage gives us a clue in verse 26. He says, "So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the dark, say in the light. What you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops." And some of you might be scratching your head and be like, how does this tell us why we fear? But I think what Jesus is saying is that there is a reality that is hidden to most, but will one day come to light. There is a message that only now is being whispered, but one day will be fully and completely proclaimed. And what he's saying is, if you understand, if you take to heart this particular message that Jesus is telling you, there will be no reason to fear. So what does this tell us about why we fear? I think it's this. At the root of all of our fears is a belief system. What we believe about our circumstances, what we believe about people, what we believe about life and about what's important and about God will inform and it will determine our fears. Just think about your own fears briefly. What's the belief system? What is it that you believe that's causing those fears? I'll give you one kind of silly example to kind of drive home the point. We're going to take a child as an example. Children oftentimes worry about two things, the fear of dark and the fear of monsters. But what exactly is the belief system that this child is having that causes them to fear the dark and to fear monsters? Well, one, they think that the dark is intrinsically dangerous. It's a place of unknown. It's a place where they become vulnerable. And so they have a fear of the dark. And why is it that they fear monsters? Well, one, they believe that they actually exist. And secondly, they believe that they are underneath their bed or in their closet and they're out to get them. And so they legitimately fear monsters because they think that that noise that's underneath their bed, the crackling of the pipes, the floorboards creaking when somebody's walking is actually a monster that's out to get them. They believe that. And hopefully, for most of us here, we've outgrown the fear of dark and we've outgrown the fear of monsters because we realize that the dark is not any more dangerous than the light unless you trip on something. And that monsters don't exist. So we don't have to fear them. They're not dangerous to us because they don't exist. We've grown out of those belief systems, and so therefore we've grown out of those fears. And so what Jesus is saying here in this passage is this: if you believe the message that I have for you, if you truly, truly take it to heart, there will be no reason for you to fear. So what is that message? I mean, he doesn't really say. He just says it's hidden, it's going to come to the light, it's in the dark, it's going to be made known, it's whispered, and soon it will be proclaimed. But he doesn't actually say what it is in this particular passage. But a little bit earlier, in all of chapter 10, Jesus is getting the disciples ready to go out and to proclaim a message. And earlier in chapter 10, he gives them the summarized version of what the message is, and it's this: the kingdom of God is at hand. God is invading our world. He's coming in so that you can be rescued. That is the message summarized by Jesus. The kingdom of God is at hand. Jesus has come to bring his kingdom of peace and of the gospel. So that's why we fear. It's a particular belief system. What we believe informs and determines our fears. But secondly, we want to look at what are some particular fears. And we're going to look at the ones that Jesus is talking about here in this passage. And there's three, I believe, particular fears that he's describing here. The first one is fear of what other people think about me. We see that in verse 24 and following. It says, "A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for his disciple to be like his teacher, and the servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? So have no fear of them." The fear of man is a very common fear. It's one that, if I'm honest with you, it's one that I continue to struggle with on a continued and daily basis. And friends, this fear of what other people think, this fear of what other people might be saying about me, has a real controlling power to it, does it not? If I fear what other people might think, suddenly I find myself doing things, saying things that I know that I shouldn't. It controls me. And the scripture affirms this. In Proverbs 29:25, it says, "The fear of man lays a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is safe." And so the scripture calls this fear a snare. It's a trap. It literally captures you and makes you, forces you to do its will, to do its bidding. Have you experienced this in your own life, where you suddenly find yourself saying things? What am I saying? Simply because you fear what other people might think. You find yourself doing things. What am I doing? Simply because we fear what other people might be saying about us. Well, what lies at the root of this fear? What is the belief system that gives this root its controlling power? Well, I think it's this. We allow other people to have authority in our lives. The greater weight we allow someone's thoughts or words to affect us, the greater authority you're allowing them to have in and over your life. What they say really, legitimately, becomes the truth that you believe in your heart. And what's interesting about this is that you might not cognitively believe and affirm what they might think or say, but deep down in your heart, you do affirm it. And so what Jesus is wanting to ask us and to tell us is this: will you believe the message that I'm telling you today, even though most people in your life may disregard it? Will you allow what I have to tell you and about you to have more authority over your soul than the shouts of everyone around you? Will you allow Jesus to have the proper authority in your life? Or will you continue to live in fear of others, giving them the authority over your life? That's the first fear. The second one is this: the fear of death. We see this in verse 28. "Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell." It's basically a blanket truth. We all fear death. And that's why we so desperately try to distract ourselves and try very, very hard not to think about it. And quite honestly, for someone my age, a lot of us are around my age or a little bit older, a little bit younger, it's easy to not think about it. We have busy jobs, we have kids that we've got to take care of, we've got hobbies and activities that we fill our lives with to distract us from this thought that one day I will die. In fact, as a nurse who works in the intensive care unit at the hospital here in Phoenixville, I have seen people and their families go through horrific experiences just trying to avoid death. People put their family members through horrific things simply because they're trying to avoid them dying. And people will allow themselves to go through horrific things simply because they want to avoid this portal of the unknown called death. I think most people fear death because it is that. We don't know what lies beyond it. In a time and society where we place so much weight upon experience and upon scientific experimentation, death is just simply one of those things where it lies outside of the grasp of those things. We simply do not know what's going to happen. But I think lurking behind and even deeper behind the fear of death is something that we definitely do not like to think about or to talk about, and that is sin. Death, the scripture says, is the working out of sin. We see that in a few different passages. James chapter 1, verses 14 and 15 says this, "But each person when is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. And then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death." Romans 5:12 says this, "Just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin. And so death spread to all men because all sinned." And then there's the often quoted passage in Romans chapter 6, "The wages of sin is death." A pastor friend of mine lost his brother after a very long and agonizing fight with cancer. And one of the things that my friend said that he learned through this experience of watching his brother slowly die and ultimately have his life taken was this. He would say, "I have learned to hate my sin with more intensity." Because he says, cancer did not kill my brother. Sin killed my brother through the agency of cancer. And so it goes, we could say that with pretty much anything. Metabolic failure of our organs does not cause death. Sin working through the agency of metabolic failure of your organs causes death. Heart disease does not cause death. Sin working through the agency of heart disease causes death. And so what Jesus is saying to us is don't merely fear death. Fear the reality that lies behind death. Fear sin, because sin not only causes physical death, it causes an eternal spiritual death, a separation between everything you love and hold dear. Fearing death is short-sighted. Jesus is calling us to have a perspective and to see what sin will finally do to us completely. He's calling us, along with my pastor friend, to hate our sin with more intensity. That's the second fear. The third fear is this, the fear that I am unloved. We see this in verse 29 and following. "Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows." And this, my friends, is perhaps the greatest fear that we will discuss here this morning. After all, this is the fear that drives and gives power to the first fear that we discussed, the fear of what other people might think. See, the reason why we fear what other people might think is because we fear that they might not love us, that they might not appreciate us. And so the fear of feeling unloved gives power to this fear of what other people might think or say about us. And this fear of feeling unloved can actually overpower and overwhelm the fear of death. We see this in people who are just immersed in this state where they feel completely unloved. And they say, "I would rather walk through the portal of the unknown, of death itself, than to live my life feeling unloved." This fear overwhelms the fear of death. fearing a life without love is just completely overwhelming. And perhaps some of us here this morning feel that way. We feel the weight of this fear on our lives. Relationships have been broken that you cared for. There's a line that's been drawn, and no longer you feel that it can be crossed. You feel as though the people you once loved no longer return that love to you. And perhaps you feel even as though you've crossed the line and God cannot love me anymore. I've done too much. I've neglected him too much for him to love me. But friends, God answers our fears in the person of Jesus. He answers our fear of death. Jesus answers our fear of being unloved, and he answers our fear of what others think about us by showing us that we are loved so much deeper than we could ever hope or imagine. See, Jesus in love faces all of these fears. It's not as though Jesus is sitting from heaven looking down upon us. Oh, you silly people, why do you fear so much? No, Jesus humbled himself, and that's exactly what we just celebrated during this Advent season. He humbled himself, wrapped himself in flesh, and he faced all of these fears for us. You see, Jesus had to face utter humiliation, having people completely and utterly reject him and say completely and utterly rude, mean-spirited things that ruined his reputation. He faced the fear of what other people might think or say. Why? Because he loves you. Jesus, standing before his mockers, is silent. Silent and determined to face the cross because he loves you. And Jesus faces the fear of death. He goes to the cross, facing it, the torturous pain and humiliation, and he tastes physical death. He opens up the portal of the unknown for us. Why? Because he loves you. And Jesus faces what is probably his greatest fear, the fear of bearing the infinite weight of sin. All of its grotesque humiliation, all of its proper judgment lying directly upon his back. Death of body and soul. He feels the intense hatred and anger of God towards sin directed at him. And so he feels this crushing weight upon him, the gravity of feeling unloved. Jesus did that so that you could know that you are indeed loved. He did this so that you will know the ever-attentive love of God the Father. You see, what happens when Jesus does this is he welcomes you into the household of God. We see this in two different places. At the beginning of the text, he says this in verse 25, "How much more will they malign those of his household?" You see, Jesus is not ashamed to call us brothers and sisters. He welcomes us into his family, into his household. And we see it later on in verse 29. "Are not two sparrows sold for a penny, and not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father?" Jesus faces all of these fears so that you can know God as your Father. And not only know God as your Father, but an attentive, loving, caring Father. You see the attentiveness here as he describes it. "All of the hairs of your head are numbered by your Father." He knows all of your experiences, and he loves you. And friends, this is what we celebrate at this table. We celebrate the love of Jesus, facing all of our fears for us, facing death itself for us, so that we could be welcomed in to God's family and know that we are loved eternally, forever, with an unending, undying love. Let us pray. Father, we just give you praise here this morning. Thank you that the Lord Jesus Christ has come to set us free from our fears. Thank you that he has come and entered into all of our fears, breaking the power that they have over us. We do not need to fear what other people think of us, because we have a God in heaven who loves us and affirms us and approves of us. We do not need to fear death, because Jesus Christ has entered death and conquered it for us. And we don't need to fear being unloved, because we know for sure Jesus Christ has demonstrated it once and for all, that we are truly loved to the uttermost. Help us to believe this deep in our hearts, so that it will indeed set us free from our fears. Help us to proclaim this message to those around us, so that they too might find freedom from their fears. Father, we pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.